And this morning we are rejoining a National Geographic radio expedition in the Central African Republic at a rare site where forest elephants gather. There's one. A low rumble call. I didn't know they sound like that. A Cornell University researcher, Katie Payne, believes those calls may tell us more than anyone knows now about these elephants, and perhaps enough to save them.
They're very emotional animals, and some days they don't call at all, and then other days there's this blitz of calling. It's like a stampede of calling.
Without hard data, conservation is difficult for countries in Central Africa with few resources. Hundreds of thousands of elephants may need protection in their forests, but the vegetation is so thick, it's hard to prove they're there. But you can hear them. Katie Payne's Elephant Listening Project uses a series of sound recorders.
We can set the settings on our recordings so that we're only picking up the very low frequency calls, and then most of what we pick up will be elephants, wind, and thunder.
The first goal, learn to tell how many elephants are in an area from the number of recorded calls. She's just about got that.
When you average it all out, you discover you really can extrapolate the numbers of elephants present.
Next, more difficult and intriguing. An elephant dictionary. Not a real dictionary, but Katie Payne may be able to tell what the elephants are doing, how they're interacting, if they're reproducing, which individuals are present, all this just from acoustic monitors. It's an original idea, even audacious, and it demands some unique abilities, which is why we are climbing wooden stairs to an observation platform by a clearing known as Zanga Bay. A dozen elephants browse the open area below, and watching them is Katie's project partner.
Here comes Whitman. He's got good, nice, thick tusks, and he's pretty stocky.
Zanga is the research site of Andrea Turkalo, subject of an earlier radio expedition to the Central African Republic. She can identify thousands of elephants by sight. So many, she names them to keep track.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should look at it now. That's Whitman. No, I know that's Whitman. I know that's him.
Of course.
Even with scores of elephants in the clearing at one time, Andrea usually knows who's related. Mothers, daughters, sisters, cousins, aunts. The groups are mostly matriarchal. Juvenile males and some infants. This is a crucial insight for Katie Payne.
That means that we're able to interpret some of the calls in terms of their social meanings.
Because you know the relationship between this elephant and that elephant.
Yes, right. And you hear a rumble and you watch them run together, and then you get more rumbles and certain behaviors, great flapping of ears, and that's a greeting. And then you can say those rumbles are greeting rumbles.
Finally, the project must document its observations, linking behavior and calls. Two elephant listening project assistants, Melissa Grew and Maya Thompson, use rangefinders, videos, and field notes that can later be integrated with the recordings.
Adult male and the subadult male.
141.47. 122.6.
This is how to write an elephant dictionary. Note behavior, note calls, see if there's a response, look for patterns. Acoustic monitors could revolutionize wildlife study in difficult places. One day, they recorded a mating. They'd seen others, always events that excited all the elephants around. This time, Katie Payne says, pandemonium.
There was a tremendous uproar of great circling of elephants. called and called and called and called, and the calling, overlapping calls, went on for more than an hour.
She didn't start out with elephants. Decades ago, Katie Payne studied humpback whales. She heard patterns then that no one else did, their songs evolving year to year. A grad school dropout who left to raise a family, her insight changed the study of whales. She never did return to Harvard for that doctorate. She moved on to elephants and, on a hunch, made another fundamental discovery. Elephants use very low-frequency sound for most of their calls. We don't notice because we can't hear them. They're calling in this forest clearing below us, and Katie Payne is watching, wondering.
Why does it matter so much to know who's who? There's a question for you. Why does it matter so much to you and me to know who's who? You know, we're just consumed with fascination. I wouldn't be surprised if elephants are, too. Oh, and I'm quite convinced that every call has the signature of the caller in it.
So you think that elephants can discern who is making every call?
I strongly suspect that that's the case.
They have individual voices.
Mm-hmm.
She is raising her own voice now, a world regulatory authority. The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, CITES, may lift a ban on trading ivory. Along with many conservationists, Katie Payne believes that could induce a slaughter of elephants, especially the forest dwellers in countries that can't protect them from poachers. It's another reason the Elephant Listening Project is working to gather and comprehend the oral record of a place like Zangabai.
To write a dictionary is no small task, and we are very much in kindergarten.
You said a little while ago that you were not a great scientist. That was just an offhand comment. You were talking about someone else before we started recording here. Mm-hmm. What kind of a scientist are you?
Observational scientist. That is to say, my forte is watching things and thinking about them and getting hunches and loving them, and I'm not sure that's scientific at all. It's just kids' stuff.
Katie Payne is in Santiago, Chile this weekend at the CITES meeting, fighting efforts to renew legal trade in ivory. Meanwhile, the Elephant Listening Project at Cornell continues to study the elephant voices of Zangabai. Radio Expeditions is a co-production of the National Geographic Society and NPR News. For maps, pictures, and some really good sounds, come to the Radio Expeditions website at npr.org.